Well, our sermon title this morning is one that doesn't give away quite as much as sometimes they do. Promises and faith. We could talk about almost anything, of course. And it's because I couldn't come up with any kind of sort of useful little aphoristic kind of sermon title. But what I wanted to talk about is the combination of our two readings as much as anything. Genesis sets the our reading in Genesis sets the context, and then Paul expands it somewhat in Romans. And I've been spending some time in Romans on my own recently. So this was, once again, Providence working its magic, if you will. I know you're not supposed to say magic, but that's sort of how it feels. As I've been thinking about this, and I've been thinking particularly about Abraham, about his relationship with God that predates all the laws of the Old Testament. And then Paul starts trying to pull that out in a way that's useful for us so we don't get caught up in this whole idea of law. And he goes back to Abraham as the spiritual ancestor of us all to help us realize that because Abraham's righteousness came to him before the law was given, then we shouldn't be looking to the law ourselves. Except we want law. And we want law, not because we're especially righteous people, although perhaps that's the case for some of us. We want law because it's easier. Law is easy. Drive 50 kilometers an hour here, drive 100 kilometers an hour there. There's no thinking about it. All you have to do is be able to correlate the numbers you see on the sign with the numbers in the front of you on your dash, and you have nothing to worry about. There's no judgment whatsoever. If you obey the traffic laws, you have nothing to worry about. Which makes sense. I'm not speaking out against law by any means, especially not traffic laws. But we want law because it's nicely cut and dried and tells us exactly where we fit all the time. The only trouble is we can't keep the law going past traffic laws, which most of us, I think, keep fairly well, into the law that Paul's talking about. Into the law that was written out because the Israelites insisted that Moses go and get them laws like everybody else because they wanted laws so they'd know exactly what to do. When God from the very beginning was more interested in a relationship. Every once in a while you run across relationships that are based on this peculiar notion of law where you see people who have relationship contracts, and if there isn't a larger contradiction in terms, I don't know what is. But a relationship contract, this seems the most peculiar thing you could have. If you're in a relationship with someone, romantic or otherwise, you would think that you shouldn't have to have everything written out. You'd be able to figure it out. Heather and I do not have a relationship contract. It's never crossed our mind to have such a thing. And we don't need it. Because when it comes to our relationship, we are acutely aware of the other half of it. When we do things that have an impact on the other one, we think of them. We don't just think of what the rules say, and we don't just think about ourselves. And that's what relationship is all about, is a sense of the other, whether that's a spouse or a child or a coworker or a friend or whatever else it might be. And figuring out what you need to do so that both of you can be well. Law goes beyond that, or doesn't achieve that, depending on how you want to look at it. And so we want this law as it relates to God as well. But in Genesis, and Paul, going back to Genesis, reiterates that Abraham moved into this relationship with God through faith, not through law. And the promises that were given to Abraham came not as a quid pro quo in a legal document, but were given to him by grace, which is something else that transcends law. And the promises that Abraham was given were dramatic promises. I mean, for a married couple in their 90s and 80s, now having a child would be front page news, to say the very least. Back then, it was so ridiculous that when Sarah, who was not a spiritually unastute woman, when this promise was given to her by people who were probably messengers from God, and she was aware of that, she laughed out loud. Promises came through grace and faith. Grace and faith function on this completely different plane than obeying the rules. When Paul is writing Romans, he's writing it to primarily people who are strongly influenced by Judaism, if not Jews themselves, and likewise strongly influenced by religious structures that were all based on law. For the Roman world, for the Greek world, when something happened in a particular way, you went and you made this sacrifice to this god, or you made a different sacrifice to another god. There's a lot of things just laid out. There wasn't a lot of this sense of a relationship with God that was as loose and as flexible and as enriching as any other relationship. But what Paul makes very, very clear for us, that if we want to live by law, then faith has no place there anymore. And we could perhaps, if we wished, say, well, I'd be willing to give up faith for the certainty of law, except for verse 14. Well, 14 and 15. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. We live by faith rather than by law, because that's the arrangement that God laid out from the beginning. When he gave the law, because the Israelites insisted upon it, he was fairly clear right from the beginning that this is just going to be bad for you. You're not going to be able to keep it. It's going to cause nothing but guilt and difficulties. But if you insist, you insist. In the same way that as a parent, sometimes you let your children do things you know are going to work out poorly. Because sometimes that's the way we learn. We want the promise. We want the promise that Abraham got. Not that exact promise. I don't want to be the father of many nations. I'm perfectly happy to be the father of a few kids, and now some grandkids. That makes me happy enough. But the larger promise of the relationship with God that God promised to Abraham that comes through faith. And whatever those promises might be that are provided by grace come through the relationship that's built on faith, not on law, not just on doing what you're told. Because the problem with law is that when I drive by you at 50 kilometers an hour, you have no idea why I'm driving at 50 kilometers an hour. I could be grinding my teeth the whole time that I'm held to this speed limit. I could just be mad the whole time. Or I could be delighting in the fact that the engineers came up with the exact speed that's best for me to drive along here. You just don't know, do you? Obeying the law takes all of what makes us human out of the equation. It's just a matter of doing what we're told. Not understanding why we're told it. Not having any sense. I have no relationship with the engineers who came up with the speed limits. And I don't need one. But if I want a relationship with God, and I do, and we all do, we need to get past this idea that the relationship is built on and fueled by following the rules. Because it's not. Paul talks all through here about the bad parts of the law. The law brings wrath. So if you want to look at it in one peculiar way, where there is no law, there's no transgression even. As the flip side of that, he said, you get rid of law, you've gotten, if you have no law, you have no possibility of breaking the law, which some people have really seriously misinterpreted to saying that without law you can do whatever you want, which is not the case. But when you step away from law and the restraints and the constraints of needing to do this exact thing at this exact moment, you move into the fluidity, and admittedly sometimes the chaos, of an actual relationship. You discover new and wonderful things about your partners, whether it's a spouse or whoever you're in relationship with. when new things happen and you respond in new ways and you discover new things about people when they step out of the usual. Well, if we're constrained by law, there is no possibility of stepping outside of the usual except stepping into sin. Because if you're out of the law, you're into non-law. Sin. Which none of us want. Now, this isn't easy. But then again, as I've told my kids to the point where I'm sure they were tired of hearing it, very few of the things that are really valuable are easy to accomplish. A good relationship takes lots of work. Following the rules just takes knowing what the rules are. Once you know what the rules are, you never have to think about them again. When is the last time you carefully calibrated your speed on the road with this speed limit? You just know what you need to do and you do it. The relationship that we have with God has the potential for the surprising delights of relationship, just like we get with our relationship with the people in our lives. But we only get that if we're willing to step away from a relationship with God that's based on law, that's based on just obeying the rules, and move into a relationship that's based on the relationship built through faith, promises and other good things given to us by grace. Not because we've earned them, because that takes us back into law, but because we understand that God loves us and gives us things because of that. Grace is a wonderful thing that we'll talk about more, I suspect, through Lent and also especially into Easter. The unmerited favor of God is the shorthand, or the shortest definition of grace that I can think of. And it's one I especially like. You earn things through law. There's no favor there. It's not a grace to you to be paid at your job. You've exchanged your work for a paycheck, and that's the way it works. The grace of God, the promises that Abraham received and then saw the beginning of, and that we see some of the outcomes of, weren't given because Abraham had done some particular thing. It's because God came and said, this is what I'm going to do for you. And Abraham believed. Abraham had faith. We often wonder, do we have enough faith? How do we get more faith? Well, I've come to the conclusion, on the basis of reading through this part of Romans, that our faith is strengthened by two things. Exercising faith, which I suppose makes sense. If you want to use the metaphor of faith as a muscle, you get your muscles stronger by using them. By exercising faith and by worship. Those are the two things that I see Paul talking about. And we worship, not just here together, although this is an important part of it, but every time we pay careful attention to God's work in the world and we are grateful for it. Every time we praise God for anything, whether it's something as simple as a nice day or as profound as good news from people we've been waiting to hear news from, that's another kind of worship. When we look at good outcomes as another sign of God's blessing upon us, rather than just coincidence or whatever it might be. Whenever we worship God, we're building our faith because we're doing something without seeing the immediate outcome. Some of you may be gifted in visions and see God in a way here that the rest of us don't. But I think for most of us, when we get together to worship, we don't do it because we have a visual of God. It's not, for most of us, every Sunday, we don't get that internal sense of the Holy Spirit pouring out upon us. We get it sometimes. But we come here and worship anyway, because we know about the reality of God, and we exercise our faith in worship, and that builds our faith. It's a virtuous circle, the opposite of a vicious one. The more we ascribe to God those things that are worthy of God and belong to Him, the more we remind ourselves of who He is, the more we know who God is, the stronger our faith is in Him. None of these things are possible if we get hung up on what the rules are. That we spend all of our time saying, what is the law here? Instead of saying, who is God? What are the promises that He has given to us? How can I exercise my faith in this situation? And then our faith grows. Our understanding of God grows. In the season of Lent, it's an opportunity for us to remind ourselves again, as we prepare for Easter, of how much God, in the form of Jesus, transcended the rules. Because when Jesus didn't follow the Sabbath rules, He wasn't breaking them just for the sake of breaking a rule. He was going beyond the rule into what it actually meant. Because when God gave the Israelites the law, He wasn't doing it just so they would fail. He wasn't doing it just to make things difficult. He was saying, these are going to be hard to keep. You shouldn't have asked for them, but here they are. If you do keep them, they'll be good for you, but there's a better way. And Jesus showed that better way. If setting aside a day to worship God as we have is a good thing, healing somebody on that same day is an even better thing, without negating the value of what we do when we set aside a day to worship God. Mark talks often about Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees of the day and the difficulties He had with their understanding of the law, and how the law had reached such a place of prominence that it blinded them to the reality of the purpose of the law, and it blinded them to the character of God Himself. We don't want to be those kind of people. We want the promises. Because, of course, we do. We want the promises that God has given to us of blessing, of His presence, of communion with others, of all of the things that are all through Scripture. And we want them through faith. The law won't give them to us. And even though we don't follow all the Jewish strictures by any means, we have our own laws that we keep having to resist, because it's better for us to live by faith. It's through faith that Abraham received those promises, and it was through faith that those promises came to him. And it is through our faith that the promises that God has given us will come to us. We might like a checkbox. We might like laws that are easy to write out and easy to follow, but they don't come with these promises. Promises and faith are inextricably linked. And we do want one. And we do want to exercise the other. And so in this season of Lent, let's build our faith through these ways of worship and of exercising that same faith, as we move forward to the celebration of Easter.